Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Ephesians chapter 5, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I want to speak to you today on the theme of the husband and wife as a team. Many of us consider ourselves most blessed to have had the privilege to have had this teamship of husband and wife demonstrated before us by our parents. And many of us enjoy this teamship in our own marriages. And for this we are truly grateful beyond expression. It seems that everybody ought to know that the husband and wife are to function as a team. But it is also obvious, due to the havoc and breakdown found in many marriages, that a lot of people have not learned this fundamental truth. If more were aware of it and worked accordingly, there would not be the destruction of homes so rampant in our society today. We're actually discussing an attitude, a matter of the heart, and we're also focusing attention on a relationship. We can say that we are studying an attitude of heart that should be demonstrated in a specific relationship. What is a team? Now, the word is not used in the Bible with reference to marriage, even though the concept is there, as we shall discover. A team consists of people working together, yoked together, they're coupled and linked, cooperating for the common good. Webster defines the word, and he uses marriage to illustrate the meaning. Now, the word yoke, it can be understood in terms of a burden or an unbearable load, as Paul used it in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 when he said, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Or it can be understood to refer to a beautiful and intimate relationship of favor, as Jesus used it in his invitation found in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Being yoked in marriage requires agreement. Amos stated the great principle in Amos 3 and verse 3, Can two walk together except they be agreed? Teamwork demands consideration and communication, consultation, and certainly cooperation and companionship. And in a marriage, there must be the inclusion of Christ. Friend, without these essentials, the team simply cannot and will not function as the originator intended. It was God's original and present purpose that the husband and wife function as a team, not separately, but as a complement to each other. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Now, God did not say that it was wrong to be unmarried, but as it is stated in Proverbs 18 and verse 22, Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Marriage is a blessing given to mankind by God. If we could summarize marriage with just one word, we would choose the word companionship. This is what God intends in marriage. Now let us now read from Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 20, where there are several phrases that show the teamwork that we're considering. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now this teaching concerning marriage was repeated by Jesus Christ when he gave his will concerning marriage, Matthew 19:1-9. And his will is as God planned and designed it from the beginning. All men everywhere are accountable to God through the teaching of Christ in this matter, as in all others, John 12:48. Now, you'll notice the team is composed of a husband and wife, not merely a man and a woman, and not a man and women, nor a woman and men, and not a man and man, nor woman and woman. Many have perverted this relationship, such as homosexuals, lesbians, adulterers, fornicators, and others. Of such, Paul said that God had given them up to dishonor, to vile affections. He called them reprobate, Romans 1:24, 26, and 28. And while we have pity and concern for those who pervert themselves in any fashion, nobody can claim to be loyal to the doctrine of Christ and pronounce such things as anything other than sin, which damns the soul. Teamwork of husband and wife is seen in the phrase, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Now let's understand the context. All the other creatures God had created had passed before Adam, and none of them were suitable to be his companion, nor was it expected that they would be. So God made a special creation for man that was suitable. The phrase, this is now, literally means this turn. The other creatures had their turn, so to speak, and they were found unsuitable. Now it was the woman's turn, the special creation, and she was created suitable as man's companion. Teamship is seen in the phrase, one flesh. There is a difference, friend, in flesh. All flesh is not the same flesh, because there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds, 1 Corinthians 15:39. And we might add here that this passage, alongside many others, drives a spike through the heart of any attempt to harmonize the Bible with organic evolution, atheistic, theistic, agnostic, or whatever. But the point as it relates to our theme is that God made man and woman of the same kind. They were two distinct personalities blended into one satisfying unit for the physical and part of the spiritual needs of both. It is as stated in Proverbs 31, He trusts her, he praises her, and she will do him good. The word man is sometimes used in the Bible to refer to the male of the human family. Sometimes it refers to the whole of the human family, including both male and female. The man is the male man, and the woman is the female man. They were not deity, they were not animals, but they both were humanity. They were of the same kind. They were of the same one flesh. That emphasizes their teamship. And this teamship is closer than the tie between parent and child. They were to leave and to cleave one to the other. The prime allegiance belongs to each other above even the close tie of parent and child. If parents want to give a great gift to their children that will be of enduring strength for them throughout the life of the child, give them parents who truly love each other before all else that this world offers. We are to love our mates first before everything except God. And the beautiful truth is that when we love God, we will love our mate above everything else. Husbands and wives are interdependent on each other. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is man also by the woman. But all things are of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We hear so much criticism today against the very institution of marriage. Some complain that in marriage you lose your individuality. Friend, we can never completely lose our individuality. We shall stand as individuals before God in the judgment, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. But in any human relationship, including marriage, there is the sacrifice of some individuality. Why just attack marriage and not all other human associations? Well, this is because many want the physical privileges in marriage without the duties in marriage. In marriage, each is an individual with distinctive roles for which each is especially made to fulfill. We should assist each other in fulfilling these God-given roles in life. Neither is the master of himself or herself, but each seeks the highest good of the unit. This is what agape, or love, embodies and involves. Teamwork in marriage requires compatibility, companionship, nearness, personal involvement and cooperation, but also it includes Christ. We need to understand that any disposition of marriage that omits God cannot be what marriage is intended to be. There are three involved in marriage, not just a man and a woman. There must be the inclusion of the designer, the originator, the giver of marriage, who is God. Many problems arise because people fail to understand and accept this. Many problems could be solved, even avoided, if all would respect this fact of truth. False doctrines arise because some have failed to respect both the individual and collective duties each one has toward God. Marriage is not a mere social relationship or an economic arrangement or just a legal contract. It is a holy, sacred, God-given relationship, and without God in marriage, it is lacking in the basic fundamental ingredient. This attitude of teamwork must manifest itself in a number of areas. Husbands and wives are like a lock and a key. They're like two blades of scissors. They cannot and do not function properly by themselves. Obviously, there is teamwork in the conjugal or sexual relationship. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2. This added language of love, the expression of love, the satisfaction of pure and holy emotions and desires within marriage is reserved for the members of the team. Outside of marriage, it is an abominable transgression against God, against society, against one's mate, against oneself, against the family. There should be teamwork in the rearing of children. Genesis 1 and verse 28 tells us that God blessed them and said to them to be fruitful and replenish the earth. You see, both have a duty, not only in bringing the child into the world, but also in the upbringing and the training and the care of the child. And this includes setting goals and priorities. It includes discipline and provision. The child is not my child or your child. It is our child. And there should be oneness in the handling of finances of the home. This is a source of problems among many people. Some today talk about her money and his money. I suggest to you that this is foolishness. Now, you may not agree, but you need to consider this point more seriously. Money problems have caused much strife in marriages. An understanding that in marriage it is no longer me and my and mine and you and yours, it becomes we and us and ours in everything. Teamwork demands loyalty to one another, and this would eliminate many problems. Friend, do you realize that nobody from the outside of marriage can intrude into a marriage where husband and wife are loyal to each other? And this includes having and showing respect for each other's feelings, refusing to embarrass or to destroy the other. Teamwork in marriage means you are together for life. In good times, bad times, sharing joys and sorrows, loads and burdens, in sickness and health, adversity and prosperity, not pulling apart, not pulling against, but pulling with each other. It's a case of me and you against the world. The words of Ruth state the idea. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And as Jesus said, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Teamwork in marriage means being united in the faith. Dear friend, it's not enough to be united in a faith, but the faith. Both ought to be Christians, as the Bible teaches. Unless both are in Christ, there is no standard by which to measure, no rule for making decisions, no guide for life, no basis for solutions to differences. Let us teach our young to marry in the Lord. So many who have ignored this teaching have lived to regret it, and more are lost to the cause of Christ than remain faithful in religiously divided homes. The best team is one composed of a Christian husband and a Christian wife. It is difficult enough at times to resist the devil when you are standing together. How much more difficult when you are divided in the most important matter of life, your relationship to God. Like machinery, it's not the revolutions that wear out the machine, it's the friction. When both are Christians, you have the oil that will keep down the friction. And we need to teach our young, as many of us have been taught, that the primary goal in marriage is to help each other get to heaven. Now this is a statement of Peter when he said, dwell with them as heirs together of the grace of life, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Recognize that you both are precious souls, precious to each other and precious to God, souls that want to live with God eternally. And every team must have a leader. In God's plan, the husband is the leader of the home. Now, we're sorry this does not please everyone, but it pleases everyone who loves God. Ephesians 5, verse 23. There are alternatives to teamwork. And what are these alternatives? They're frustration, estrangement, heartbreak, betrayal, harsh words and bitterness and regret, and agony, broken homes, scarred children, ruined lives, separations, loneliness, hatred, handicapped young people, lost souls. Unless the God-designed team functions as God has designed it, Satan will run in some substitutes that will destroy everyone involved. While watching a sporting event and playoff games, I heard one commentator say, have you noticed how that most of the time, the teams with experience are the ones that make the playoffs? Now, he was simply observing how experience makes the team more effective. And this is true in sports, and it is also true in marriage. You learn to think alike, to work smoothly, to understand each other, to grow together. Where one stands, two stand, and you never walk alone. We speak of newlyweds sometimes and how they seem so well suited for each other. Well, bless their hearts, they may well be. but they are not near so suited for one another now as they shall become as they go through life together. Yes, dear listening friend, God's team consists of a husband and a wife, living together, loving God and each other, in the oneness of marriage and in Christ. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.